Chapter 15.
I'm not sure these are your style,
Ada said as she walked back into her office with an armful of clothes.
Not that it really matters, since you're going to tear through them eventually.
Still, I shrugged. I want to look dapper when going on a mission to a fancy lounge. Ada let out a long, high-pitched snort, but then she quickly shook her head.
I'm sorry. It's just I'm not used to anyone around here calling Cincy's Jewel fancy. Is it not? You said it was a lounge. Isn't that where people get all dressed up and go to sip fancy cocktails and listen to live piano players? Traditionally, yes,
the succubus said with a smirk.
But that's not what Div has. He has all the components of a bougie lounge present, but his cheap ass hires bartenders who only know how to make simple drinks. And instead of live band music, he just has local bands playing for free every night. Then there's the whole aesthetic of the place, which is just... Well, I'll let you see it for yourself. Like I said before, sometimes I think the whole thing would be better off if it was burned to the ground. How does he even make money?
Janine asked as her eyebrows furrowed in confusion.
It sounds like the kind of place that would drive their normal demographic away. That's the beauty of his business model. He doesn't want that demographic there at all, so he intentionally drives them away, which leaves room for all the people who want to go to a high-end lounge and bar, but don't want to spend a fortune. In the end, though, he makes a fuck ton more money off the lower classes trying to emulate the rich. People are strange.
I picked up a pair of tattered blue jeans and pulled them over my spandex. The pants were a bit rough against my skin, and there was a bit of a draft that fluttered in through the holes in the knees. Bits of fabric splayed out from the fabric at each leg hole, and I wondered just how old these things were. Does Div have, like, a dress code or anything? I asked as I looked over the shirt options. I want to make sure I look like one of his men.
Did you see the guys who attacked you? They were about as well-dressed as a high schooler. They got to pick out their own clothes. As long as you're not marching in there with a shirt that says, I work for Ada on the front, you should be fine. In all honesty, they probably won't even check the car very thoroughly. It's not like anybody else has a fleet of bright yellow Hummers driving around the city.
Talk about overcompensation.
Small man syndrome. My words don't even do it justice either. Just wait until you meet him in person.
Hopefully we won't have to tolerate him for long, I said, as I pulled a wrinkly ivy green Henley over my head. If we can get the jump on him, then he'll be dead before he even knows what hit him.
Don't get too overconfident, love. Div likes to stay one step ahead of his opponents at all times. We are lucky we're even in the position to make a surprise attack. That's usually his play, not mine.
So what's your play? I just had to know.
I'm usually a bit more forward.
Ada shrugged.
If I had it my way, I would walk right up to Div, point my finger in his ugly face and tell him we were taking everything he had. And then when he tried to laugh it off, I'd tear his dick off and beat him to death with it. Actually, no, I wouldn't. I'm sure it's much too small to be used as a lethal weapon.
That would also be the quickest way to end up riddled with bullet holes, especially since you can't kill anyone above your level.
Or could she?
Janine stroked her chin and looked up at the ceiling.
She'd be using his own body parts against him, so wouldn't he technically be getting killed by himself? I like the way this one thinks.
Ada grinned devilishly.
But you are probably right, Carter. You will have to be the one to deliver the finishing blow on Div, and Janine and I will have to take out his grunts.
All of which will be much easier if we have the element of surprise on our side. I tossed on a pair of older tennis shoes to complete my outfit and slid my phone into the pocket. Then I turned to the two women and tried to go over everything one last time. Just so we're clear, it's going to go down like this, I said as I held out my hand for emphasis. Janine and I take the Hummer and drive around to the employee parking lot, where we then enter through the back door. Once we're inside, we'll pose as employees until you get Div alone and secluded from his lackeys. Is there anything else I need to know before we embark on this surely life-threatening mission?
If you see Div's hand start to glow a ghostly shade of white, get ready. That's how he summons the children of Osiris. Also, don't let his size fool you. Div is a fat motherfucker, but he's a lot more spry than he looks.
Watch for white magic, I said, as I repeated the information in my head. Got it. Now, let's go. Ada led Janine and I through the back of the club and out into a small attached garage behind the building itself. The succubus stepped through the door and flipped on the lights, and we were all greeted with the sight of a humid, bare-bones building. The walls were painted with peeling gray paint, while the floor was nothing but rough, crudely poured concrete. Workbenches, tool chests, and specialized machines lined the entire side wall of the garage, and the whole place smelled like a mixture of motor oil and lilacs. At the center of the attached structure were two shiny vehicles, one limousine and a sexy red 2016 Corvette. There was an empty space just to the right of the Corvette, big enough for another car, but I already knew what had happened to that vehicle.
I had one of my employees bring the Hummer around to the back,
Ada explained as she strutted over to the wall and plucked a set of keys off their holder.
The address is 6531 West Galbraith Road. You can follow me if you wish, but I would make sure to keep some distance between your car and mine.
Because Div might be spying on us?
No, love. Because I don't want that Hummer coming anywhere near my precious sex machine. I'll see you there.
Ada shot us both a sultry wink and then blew us a kiss before she walked over to the driver's side door of her Corvette. The succubus unlocked the vehicle with a high-pitched chirp, and then she pulled open the door and slid inside. Seconds later, there was the sound of screeching chains as the garage door slowly slid open.
I hope you can handle a Hummer,
Janine teased as we walked past the Corvette and out into the Cincinnati night.
I know I wouldn't want to drive one of those behemoths.
It's no different than driving any regular car, I said as I walked up to the vehicle and popped open the door. And even if I can't handle it, the damn thing's pretty much indestructible, right? We'll get to Div's lounge even if I have to drive through walls and over sidewalks to get there. Ada's men had apparently left the keys in the ignition, so all we had to do was hop up into the Hummer and get on our way. I hoisted myself up behind the wheel, fastened my seatbelt, and then cranked the keys in the ignition. The vehicle sprang to life with a roar that could match my own, and I couldn't help but laugh at the irony of it all. I didn't even bring my car to college, and now I was about to drive a frickin' Hummer around a major metropolitan area? Watch out, world, because here comes Carter Hatfield. The sound of screeching tires echoed through the garage as smoke erupted from the doorway. Then Ada peeled out in reverse, whipped around so she was facing the correct direction in the driveway, and took off like a bat out of hell. Well, I think we should probably just use our phone's GPS. No way am I going to try to follow her at that speed in this fucking thing. Janine punched our destination into the GPS app on her smartphone, and then we were on our way. As we were pulling out onto the main road from the parking lot, I could see Ada's taillights were all the way down the street and almost out of sight.
That's just a speeding ticket waiting to happen.
As if she'd let herself get a ticket. She's a freaking succubus wearing skimpy leather clothing. I'm sure she could very easily flirt her way out of any trouble she gets herself into. At least with men, that is.
Human and paranormal women, too. Not gonna lie, I got pretty turned on in her office. Succubi can really talk all sexy. She, told a nice story with you in the expensive suit.
Yeah. My face felt hot, and my loins throbbed intensely at the thought of Ada and Janine having sex with me in my future office. However, I had to stay focused. I was already distracted by a million different things at the moment, and the last thing I needed was to get into an accident by fantasizing about the demon woman. We drove at a leisurely pace for about 10 minutes until our surroundings became less urban and more raggedy. There wasn't anything bad about this part of town, but it felt like something super commercial. There were dollar stores and janky gas stations every few miles, along with cheap apartments obviously made for people who couldn't afford to live downtown. Eventually, we made a left turn onto the final street, which put us face to face with our destination. Just down the road on the right sat a large one-story building made out of dark red bricks, and it stretched nearly a full city block by itself. On the front of the structure was a large rectangular facade that jutted out nearly 5 feet and was held in place by 6 thick vertical metal poles. The words Cincy's Jewel were written across the entire facade in bright blue neon letters, and there was a small crowd of people lined up at the door as they waited to get inside the building. Holy shit, I said as we rolled up closer. Did Div spend his entire budget on that fucking sign? The rest of the place looks like it's about to fall down at any second. The sheer brightness of the neon letters masked the decay of the building from afar, but the closer we got, the more we recognized this place was one bad storm away from blowing over. Bricks were missing from the front of the structure, and those that remained were stained with a glistening, slimy black substance. The oversized air conditioning unit that sat atop the building was dark brown with rust, as were the poles that held up the facade. I could only imagine what it looked like on the inside.
Fuck. Ada was right. This place does kinda look like a shithole.
A popular shithole, I said, as I pointed to the people lined up to get in. And in the grand scheme of things, the bottom line is all that matters.
How could you possibly not make money? It looks like he hasn't updated this place in years, if not decades. I bet it's pure profit right now.
Not gonna lie. If I didn't know this was run by a demon who wanted to bash my brains in, I'd totally come here for fun.
Really? This is your kind of scene?
I'm down for just about anything. Was that something you missed in your stalker notes?
You should be glad I was watching you,
Janine said as she stuck out her tongue.
If it wasn't for me, you would have been sacrificed in the forest.
If I recall correctly, I killed those OLG members on my own. You were a spectator. And besides, even if Cincy's Jewel isn't really my scene, it looks like the kind of place I'd come to once just to say I had. As we passed by the front of the club, I searched for any signs of a back entrance. Then I noticed Ada's Corvette was parked out in the parking lot, far away from any other car, so it didn't get accidentally dinged. Thankfully, Div didn't seem to be hiding his employee entrance. In fact, it was demarcated by a small sign near the north side of a building that read, Employee Parking Only.
Well, that's convenient.
Don't celebrate yet, I warned with a shake of my head. If he's really a deadly demon mob boss, there's no way he's going to let just anybody walk through the back door of his establishment. I'm sure there's some sort of security measures.
Well, Mr. Werepanther,
Janine said as she crossed her arms across her chest.
You should be able to figure out the place's security before we even step out of the car.
She had a point. Between my enhanced senses, agility, and night vision, it probably wouldn't be difficult to figure out any of the security measures in place. Now, getting past them without alerting Div was a completely different matter. I turned our Hummer down the street with the sign, and we moved onto a tiny little back alley just big enough for us to get through. My heart began to beat a little faster, and I felt a few beads of nervous sweat forming on my brow. If anybody tried to ambush us in this alley, we were fucked. There was absolutely no way out other than through the roof. I continued to hold my breath until we finally exited the other side of the alley, but then I instantly tensed up again when I saw what awaited us. It was the thing all drivers feared, though they had to deal with at some point or another. The thing nobody wanted to encounter, particularly on a dreary, tired night like this one. It was a cranky old man in an attendant booth wearing a tucked-in red polo and working on a Sudoku puzzle. Fuck me. Hopefully this is one of those guys who doesn't actually give a shit about his job. Just then, Janine summoned yellow magic into her hands and pressed them under her armpits.
I'll try to give us a little bit of luck.
The man in the booth leaned out the window and spat out a mouthful of sunflower seeds as we approached. Then he put his puzzle book down and crossed his arms.
Howdy, he said in the most uninterested tone. You kids take a wrong turn?
No, we work here. Can't you tell by the Hummer?
Really? The old man said in a sarcastic voice. I completely should have realized you work here by the car you're driving.
Look at how many of us drive these things, I said as I gestured to the parking lot before me. I can see like 10 more over there. It's part of the job. The man leaned forward with his arms crossed over the ledge of the window and raised a bushy white eyebrow.
So, you're on Div's security detail, huh?
He asked, and I could sense he was full of doubt.
I didn't think you hired broads for that.
Excuse me?
Janine growled, but I simply held up my hand and tried to calm her down. Obviously she's not on his security detail, I said with an overly dramatic laugh. She works at the bar. I'm just giving her a ride into work today because, well, she was at my house earlier.
I don't want to know about your kid's game of hide the salami.
The old man shuddered.
I thought Mary was on bartending duties tonight.
Have you seen the line outside? Mary can't handle all these people on her own.
There's no way Div's paying two bartenders in one night, the man said with a frown. Even if the lounge is totally slammed. Jesus, how fucking cheap was this guy? She's doing it for free, I said in a final Hail Mary attempt. Free? The man raised his other eyebrow. You're working for that cheap-ass lazy motherfucker for free?
I'm not doing it for him. I'm doing it for Mary. She keeps on talking about how she's on the verge of quitting, and I cannot let her lose this job.
She's already behind on her rent, I added. Betty here had to lend her the money to cover it last month, or she would have been evicted. The man's beady eyes narrowed as his face contorted into a scowl, and even though I could hear his heartbeat, they told me absolutely nothing. This guy was as cool as a cucumber. Or maybe he was just so close to the edge of death that his vitals were on their way out. Either way, he was hard to read. Finally, the old man let out a scoff and shook his hand dismissively.
If your dumbass wants to work for free, be my guest,
he said as he sat back down in his chair and picked up his Sudoku book.
Your generation could use a bit of extra work anyway. Builds character.
Thank you, sir, I said to the man.
Fucking hell, kid,
he grumbled as he pressed the button to let us in.
How old do I look? It's just Paul.
Thank you, Paul, I repeated as I watched the yellow and black arm lift up into the air.
Yeah,
Paul said without looking up from his puzzle. We drove on past the attendant booth and out into a small parking lot that housed the employee vehicles of Cincy's Jewel. I quickly pulled into a spot, killed the engine on the Hummer, and then began my inspection for any security measures that might be working against us. Even if this place was protected like Fort Knox, we couldn't dawdle for long. Ada was already inside the lounge, and surely she would have been talking to Div by now. Time was of the essence. Out of the corner of my right eye, I caught a slight movement, and I looked over to see security cameras on either side of the building. They were pretty simple devices, like the small white and black blocky things you'd install on your garage door, so I wasn't too worried about their quality. A tall, buff dude stood at the back door with a scowl permanently plastered to his face. His head was completely bald, and it shone so brightly in the moonlight, I wondered if he'd covered it with baby oil. The guy had on an extra-tight black polo with equally matching dress pants, complete with dark combat boots. A walkie-talkie crackled with static on his belt, which made me think there might be other security guards around here. Guards who would be on us if we made a single misstep. Most important, however, was the card that hung around his neck. Next to the door was a small plastic square with a static red light. An electric keycard reader. That badge was literally our ticket to getting inside.
What do we have to deal with, Carter?
Janine asked after a few seconds of silence. There are some shitty cameras right there, I said as I pointed to the devices. And it looks like there's a security guard at the door. He's a pretty beefy guy.
I'm sure you can take him. He's only human.
Maybe. For all we know, he could be a demon or shifter or something. We have to deal with the cameras first anyway.
What exactly do you propose?
Easy. Those things look like they're pretty basic, like the ones all around campus.
Okay,
the archaeology student said with a frown.
What's that got to do with anything?
Haven't you ever tried to sneak past one? It's dead simple.
I can't say I have.
Janine shook her head.
I'm afraid breaking into the library is the extent of my criminal activities.
The extent of your criminal activities so far. We can't actually shut the cameras down without some major hacking skills, but we can easily walk past them without incident.
And how on earth do we accomplish that?
Janine tilted her head to the side. Simple. I grinned. During the night, these cameras function completely by reflecting infrared light off objects. It sounds really cool and high-tech, but it's pretty basic stuff. If we want to blind that camera, we just have to hit it with a really, really bright light.
I left my mag light back in my dorm,
the redhead said with a sarcastic smile.
Should we go back and get it?
No need. We've got two high-powered lights right here on this Hummer.
Okay,
Janine said, as she tapped her fingers on her thighs.
So we blind the cameras. Then what? There's still the bouncer.
Leave him to me. I cracked my knuckles. We'll only have a split second to make the attack, but if all goes well, we can knock him out without much fanfare. Then we'll hide his body in the car, kill the lights, and waltz in like nothing ever happened.
That's crazy. But it might just work. What about Old man Jenkins back there, won't he see?
You really think he's going to look up from his Sudoku long enough to even notice? Now, let me move this thing into a better position so the headlights will shine into the cameras head-on. I turned on the vehicle once more before I put it into reverse and moved over to a parking spot directly in front of the security camera's sightline. I killed the engine again, and as I did so, I noticed the guard at the door was now giving us a strange look.
It's now or never, Carter,
Janine said, as she summoned her yellow magic into her hands.
Let's hope you get lucky.
I already have. I winked at the beautiful woman. You just hang out in the car and be ready for when I bring his body back, okay? Janine gave me a nod, so I took a deep breath and prepared to go in. I'd only have a few seconds to close the gap on the guard before he got suspicious and called for backup, so I had to make every millisecond count. Here we go. I reached over to the knob on the dash that controlled the headlights and quickly clicked it from auto to brights. The headlights on the car lit up with a blinding white flash, and the clock had begun. I threw open the driver's door and sprang out onto the crumbling asphalt of the parking lot. Next, I took off toward the security guard as fast as I could. My heart hammered in my ears as I rushed at the fucker with the speed of a panther, and it only took me a few seconds to close the gap.
Hey, buddy,
the guard growled as he held his hand up to cover his eyes.
You got to turn your brights off.
Before he could finish his sentence, I slammed my left hand over his mouth and my right around his throat. He tried to let out a surprised yelp when I grabbed him, but thanks to the cover, all that came out was a muffled gasp. Then the fucker tried to lash out at me with his fists, but it was far too late. I slammed him back into the wall, and then there was a loud crack as his head hit the brick. The guard's eyes rolled back in his head, and then his body went limp. Now I just had to get back to the vehicle without anybody noticing. In one swift motion, I tossed the guy over my shoulder, turned around, and hightailed it back to the Hummer. Janine was waiting for me, with the back door of the vehicle wide open. I made it back to the Hummer and instantly tossed the man into the back seat before I jumped behind the wheel. Then I killed the lights and held my breath as I waited for something, or anything, to happen.
Don't you damn kids know how to work your lights?
I heard the attendant's voice call across the lot.
Sorry,
I yelled back.
I'm still getting used to the controls on this thing.
The old man rolled his eyes, shook his head, and then plopped back down into his seat so he could continue his puzzles. A wave of relief instantly washed over me. We were halfway there. Now we just had to get inside and make sure this fucker didn't escape.
Did you kill him?
Janine gasped as she looked at the man sprawled across the back seat. I can still hear his heartbeat. No, he's not dead. Just out cold. Hopefully for a while.
We should bind and gag him. We can't let him sound the alarm.
I know there's some supplies in the back of the vehicle, I said as I pointed to the rear of the Hummer. These guys had to have rope or twine or something. They're security detail, after all. The man's radio crackled with static again, and I nearly had a fucking heart attack. I couldn't have that thing going off inside of our car, or somebody would surely hear it. We also couldn't have the fucker using it to call for help once he woke up. As Janine slipped out of the vehicle and ran around to the back, I reached over and grabbed the guard's walkie-talkie. I unclipped it from his belt with ease, lifted it up to my eyes, and then squeezed as hard as I could. The plastic shattered into a million pieces, and the device let out a final weak beep as it was destroyed. There. Now that was one less thing to worry about.
Aha!
Janine said, as she rummaged through a bag in the back of the Hummer.
These will definitely work.
Was there some rope? I asked, but she just shook her head.
Even better,
she said, as she held up a few bits of plastic.
Zip ties.
Is there anything we can use as a gag?
No fabric. Just a bunch of tools, hardware, a tarp, and a metal bat.
It's fine, I said, as I reached up to the sleeve of my shirt. This is going to get destroyed when I transform anyway. I tore off a large chunk of green fabric from my clothes and then flipped around in the car. I quickly shoved it into the guard's mouth, rolled him over, and tied it behind his head as tight as I could. When Janine came back around with the zip ties, I pulled the poor guy's hands and feet behind his body and then bound them with the makeshift plastic handcuffs. For the last piece, we pulled up the plastic tarp and tossed it over the guard's unconscious body.
Well,
Janine chuckled as she brushed her hands together.
I totally feel like a serial killer.
We have to move, I said as I held up the man's security tag. Every minute we waste is another minute Ada could be in danger.
Should we blind the cameras again?
Janine suggested, as we both stepped out of the Hummer. Just keep your head down, I said, as I began toward the door. The lights would only draw more attention to our vehicle, the vehicle that now has an unconscious security guard inside of it. Janine and I both looked away from the cameras as we approached the back door at a casual, leisurely pace, and when we finally got to the light gray fire door, I paused and tried to listen for any signs of life on the other side. Nothing. I swiped the stolen keycard across the reader, whose red light turned green at the action. There was the click of a metallic latch opening, and I grabbed onto the door and slowly eased it open. I slid into the building first and looked around for enemies, and Janine was right behind me.
Now we just need to find Ada and Div. Can you hear them?
I tried to listen for any signs of Ada's sultry voice, but all I got was the faint sound of smooth jazz and the drone of people talking. Not at the moment, I grumbled and shook my head. All I can hear is the crowd in the lounge. Follow me. Janine and I wandered through the back of house area of the lounge until we finally came to a large open doorway. As I peered around the corner, I could see it was the entrance to the main portion of the lounge, which was packed to the brim with people. The lounge itself definitely looked better on the inside. The room had no natural light, which was a perfect complement to the glowing fixtures that had been scattered throughout the establishment. Every now and then, there was a large square carved into the ceiling that radiated a sapphire blue light down onto the hardwood floor and the surrounding white tiles. Sleek, long walls were set up across the lounge, each one designed to look like a wall of neon vines. Some of them were purple, while others were a dark green, and they added a ton of mood lighting to the space. There were several booths and tables all along the walls, each one separated by one of the neon vine walls. The seats appeared to alternate between cheap plastic chairs and even cheaper brown vinyl, and each booth had a large circular table that looked like something from a discount furniture store. To top it all off, a small pill-shaped lighting fixture hung on the wall of each private booth and radiated its neon purple glow onto the patrons inside. The back wall of the establishment was divided right down the middle. On the left was a mirrored bar shelf that spanned 50 feet and seemed to have every shape of bottle imaginable. And a tired-looking young woman toiled behind a chipped oaken bar as she ran around making drinks. That must have been the merry woman Janine was here to help. The other half of the back wall was reserved for a large half-circle stage with a grand piano on one side and a blue curtain backdrop behind it. Bright spotlights shone up from the front of the stage and illuminated the performers, which at the moment were a three-person jazz band. Several people had gathered around the stage to listen to the band, and I noticed Ada was right about the demographic. In most lounges like this, you'd find people wearing nice dress clothes, even tuxedos. Everybody here was dressed like they had just tossed on the nearest set of clothes and headed out the door. It wasn't a bad atmosphere, it just wasn't as classy as Ada's place. I scanned the crowd as I tried to find Ada, and much to my surprise, it was actually pretty damn easy. All I had to do was look for the giant group of pissed-off guys huddled around one particular booth.
Do you see them? What's going on?
I've got my eyes on them. But with all the noise in here, I'm gonna have to get in closer to hear what they're saying.
Are you sure that's a good idea?
Janine asked with a gulp.
We'll be exposing ourselves if we go out into the main area.
Not if we stick to the crowd, I said as I grabbed Janine's hand. Come on. The two of us cautiously wandered out of our hiding spot and into the nearby crowd that had congregated by the jazz band. Then we carefully pushed our way out of the first crowd and into the large group of people in front of the bar. Now that we were only about 100 feet away from Div and Ada, I tried to focus on their conversation. I knew Ada's voice pretty well, so I simply listened until my ears picked it up, and then I homed in on that area of the lounge.
I promise you, love, I would never try such a thing.
You better not, Ada, a snorty, rough voice answered. Or else I'll have your guts splayed out across the rafters of my lounge. I can use some new decor around here.
Div, darling, why would I have my driver pick up the werepanther if I didn't intend to kill him myself? You know how dangerous they are.
Don't get smart with me, succubus. Div growled. I know your type and backstabbing ways. You want to get rid of me, don't you?
Excuse me. You were the one who killed my driver.
Okay, fine. Div trailed off. I already said I was sorry about that. But what am I gonna do? Reanimating people ain't one of my powers, doll.
Can't we take this conversation back to your office? I don't feel very comfortable discussing all of this Werepanther stuff out in public. What if he's listening to us right now?
Please, Div said with a pig-like snort. My men would have seen him coming a mile away. If he was in this fine establishment right now, I would definitely know.
I just don't think it's a wise idea.
Look, Ada, you know the drill. I trust you about as much as I trust the local butcher, and that ain't much.
But, Div...
Ada said, and her voice changed to a more seductive tone.
You know I could never hurt you. You're a life-bringer speaker, and I'm just a lowly being of pleasure.
And don't you forget it, babe.
Even if I was on the same level as you, I don't think I would stand a chance. You're such a strong sorcerer, and you've killed so many creatures that could smite me in an instant. Plus, there's your muscles and your unrivaled charm.
I saw what she was doing. If she couldn't get Div alone to talk about me, then she'd have to lure him with the one thing she could actually give him. Her body.
Did you get hit on the head or something? You ain't talking like yourself.
I just remember that thing you asked me to do decades ago. Well, I think I'm ready to try it. Hearing about your man standing up to a fucking Werepanther made me remember how big and strong you are, Div. And there's nothing more I want in my life than a big, strong, well-endowed man like yourself.
I snorted at the succubus's comment, but I quickly forced my amusement down as I tried to listen to the rest of the conversation. I could now hear a very rapid heartbeat, which I assumed was Div's. Ada was playing him like a fiddle.
Right here?
Of course not. Somewhere more private. I don't want anybody to see the special things I have planned.
In my office! The demon blurted out. Let's go back to my office. Bingo. They're going back to Div's office, I whispered to Janine. This is our chance.
I heard the sound of squeaking vinyl as the two paranormal creatures stood up and then they began to head to the back room. For the first time, I got to see Div in all his glory. He was a squat fucker, only about 5'4" and at least 250 pounds. He wore an overly tight gray suit on his body, and the way he waddled when he walked reminded me of a fucking penguin. Then there was his face, which was the stuff of nightmares. His flesh was bright pink, though there were red patches on his forehead and fat cheeks. The fucker's jowls would make Winston Churchill jealous, but I couldn't really tell where they ended and his triple chin began. Div's nose was flat against his face, though the tip was pressed back to reveal two giant circular nostrils. His ears stuck out nearly 4 inches from the sides of his head, and their tips were just about parallel with the nasty brown bowl cut on his head. The demon had a sleazy grin plastered to his face, which put large, almost tusk-like teeth on display. In the words of the great Arnold Schwarzenegger, he was one ugly motherfucker.
It's okay, boys,
Div said, as he suddenly stopped and turned to his bodyguards.
You know you like family to me, so I don't want you present while I'm dicking this hot broad. I've wanted to fuck her for a good 100 years, so I'm gonna be busy for a good hour or so. If you want to make yourselves useful, why don't you go see if Charlie needs any help out back? This lovely lady here thinks your Werepanther pal might be coming for a visit, but I don't think he's got the balls.
Buddy, if you only knew.
Fuck, I said with a snarl. They're sending the guards out back.
Then we'd better make this a quick kill,
Janine said, and then we both stood up from the table. We snuck back through the crowds and then watched as Div and Ada walked off to the left, and his bodyguards headed down the hallway to the right. I didn't know how long it would take them to realize what happened to the guy outside, but I knew we were now on borrowed time. As soon as the coast was clear, we slunk into the back of house area and dashed down the hall in the direction of Ada and Div. I had no idea where I was going, but I tried my best to listen for either of their voices. Finally, I heard the ugly pig demon let out a snort.
Are you ready for the big hog? Div asked in a sleazy voice.
That's what I call my...
I figured.
Ada said with audible disgust.
I'm more surprised you don't call it the Vienna sausage.
Why the fuck would I call it that?
Because it's probably the size of one. Probably about as appetizing, too.
What the fuck? You fucking bitch. You get me all hot and bothered out there just so you can be a cock tease?
Janine and I were now on the other side of the office door, and I felt white-hot rage building up from my core. If this fucker kept talking to Ada like that, I was going to make his death even more slow and painful than I'd already planned.
I wouldn't fuck you if you were the last being on Earth,
Ada said with a snide chuckle.
Not man, not demon, being.
Suddenly, there was a loud smack from the other side of the door, and I heard Ada let out a yelp of pain.
That'll teach you to be a little whore.
Fuck you, Div. I've had subs who hit harder than that. This won't even leave a bruise.
He'd just hit Ada.
I couldn't contain it anymore.
I instantly felt the hair on my body thicken as my muscles and canines elongated, and I fell down onto my knees in pain. The transformation only took a few seconds this time, and I wasted no time in making my first move. I jumped straight into the wooden door and splintered it into a million pieces as I passed through. As I landed on the carpeted floor of Div's office, I looked around and saw he was standing next to a large metal desk, with his hand raised and Ada on the ground at his feet. And the sight made my blood boil, and my vision began to tunnel with yellow rage. I bounded across the room at Div, sprang into the air, and unsheathed the claws on both hands. I was gonna bathe in this fucker's entrails. He was gonna pay for trying to hurt Ada. Unfortunately, Div had other ideas. There was a sudden flash of blue light, and a beam of ice-cold magic slammed into my belly. The attack sent me careening back into a nearby file cabinet, which crumpled under the weight of my body.
I fucking knew it! Div spat. I fucking knew you were working with the Werepanther, you dirty bitch!
And now you're fucked,
Ada said, as she pulled herself back up to her feet.
I may not be able to kill you, but he sure as fuck can.
I leapt back onto all fours and let out an earth-shaking snarl as Janine entered the room. However, Div didn't seem worried. In fact, he had a fucking smile on his face.
Hello, Werepanther, he said in a snide tone. I'm glad you can make it. You won't be when I'm through with you. So violent,
the pig demon said as one of his hands began to glow with a spectral white light.
Oh, much too violent for my tastes.
Oh, fuck. The white light.
Fuck me.
That's why I'm going to let the servants of Osiris deal with you.